Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
William Cook and Charles Wheatstone were British inventors in the 1830s. They are credited with the breakthrough technology in communications that enabled the first telegram to be sent via electric telegraph system. And on January the 11th, 1838, Samuel Morse sent the first telegram in the United States across 2 miles of wire at Speedwell Ironworks near Morristown, New Jersey. And while the telegram continued to gain more and more momentum across the states as a means for delivering messages, people started to become a bit anxious to receive telegrams, to receive those arrivals of whatever the messages might be, because oftentimes when a message through a telegram was received, it meant bad news. Think about it. These are the kinds of messages often that were sent through the telegram. A death has occurred. An accident has happened. A sickness has spread. A war has begun. Tragic news in short phrases is hard to receive. However, in 1933, Western Union, the American Telegraph Company, they started offering singing telegrams. Have you ever heard of a singing telegram? Have you ever received a singing telegram and been embarrassed by a singing telegram showing up at your office? Please don't do that here at the church. Oh no, I just invited it, didn't I? Why did they start singing telegrams? It was a way to make the message more enjoyable, more exciting. George P. Osland was the public relations director at Western Union at the time, and he's credited with this twist for receiving messages, and suddenly receiving messages became much more exciting, much more inviting, much more popular. Mr. Osland asked a Western Union operator, Miss Lucille Lips, to sing the message over the telephone, and this became the first singing telegram. And from that day forward, an entire industry was born that enabled messages to be sent and received creatively with flair and fanfare and, yes, some embarrassment at times. And while God did not see fit to send a singing telegram to deliver the message of the coming Messiah, Mary certainly would have described the angel's arrival as anything but mundane or ordinary or bad news. In Luke's gospel records this unexpected message that was delivered by Gabriel the angel and received by Mary, the young maiden from Nazareth. And it really was the opposite of bad news. In fact, it would become the start of good news, that gospel that would then lead to salvation for all who would receive it into their lives as a personal message. If you have your Bible, why don't you open it or turn it on, and let's go over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, is going to be on page 856. If you don't have a Bible of your own, come see me in the Home Life Center when we're finished here in a moment, and I'll give you a Bible so that you can take it with you and read it as you would like. In Luke chapter 1, we started there last week talking about the angel who met Zechariah the priest in the temple, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Last week we left off in verse 25, so today we'll be picking up in verse 26. We'll look at this passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 1, verses 26, and we'll go down to verse 38. Let's read together. It says this in Luke 1, beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth,
to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And this message from the angel was anything but tragic or sad. On the contrary, this unbelievable news from the lips of Gabriel to the ears of Mary was a call to provide. A call to provide. You see, every Jewish girl prayed and dreamed of the privilege that her womb one day would be the womb that would carry, that would provide the long-awaited Messiah of God's people. The thought of being chosen to be a part of the plan that would provide the rescuer, the redeemer, the savior for Israel was a hope and a future that any Jewish young lady would be honored to experience. And it's just like God to extend the call of Christmas to come forth from the place, the person, and the circumstances that we see in this story. Let me show you what I mean. Look back with me in verse 26. Verse 26 kind of sets the stage for us, and it says this: "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named," what? "Nazareth." Now, the city of Nazareth, it's quite the contrast to the city of Jerusalem. Nazareth is kind of out in the hills. Jerusalem is the bustling city of Israel. A total contrast. That's the staging ground. Jerusalem is the staging ground for the earlier story we read last week in chapter 1. I mean, think about it, if a city was to provide the carrier for the Messiah, it seems that Jerusalem would have been a much more natural option. I mean, Jerusalem was the center of the Jewish world in that day. Nazareth, on the other hand, was kind of off the beaten path. It was out in the country. I mean, yes, Nazareth was accessible by trade routes, but man, you had to want to go to Nazareth if you were going to go to Nazareth. But Jerusalem, man, Jerusalem, it was seen as significant. Psalms were written about Jerusalem. Nobody really wrote anything about Nazareth in the Old Testament. Nazareth. Nazareth just seemed insignificant. In John chapter 1, verse 46, it records the contemporary Judean opinion of Nazareth when it states, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And it was in the region, Nazareth was in the region of Galilee. Galilee was such a contrast to the region of Judea. I mean, the former was just out in the country. The latter had a wilderness, but it was really known for this big, bustling city. I mean, Galilee, it was rough around the edges, and it was anything but kosher in the kitchens of Galilee. Judea, on the other hand, was much more polished. It was much more prim. It was much more proper. It followed all of the religious rules in Jerusalem. But as we saw last week in the first part of Luke chapter 1, God sends an angel, Gabriel, to Jerusalem to give a message to a priest named, do you remember his name? Zechariah, very good. The priest named Zechariah, who was where? He was inside the what? He was inside the temple offering incense. His one shot at performing that priestly duty. And just as quickly as God sends an angel there, he sends an angel in this part of the chapter to a quaint town on the outskirts of the country hills in Nazareth for a visitation. Why do I tell you all that? I tell you all that because no matter if you live in the big city, or you live out in the country, if you live on the right side of the tracks or the wrong side, if you live in the high tax bracket neighborhoods or the just above or even below the poverty line, all real estate on earth is an equal opportunity for God to do something great and to place a call to provide for the next part of His plan. I mean, that was true 2,000 years ago, and that is true for us today. God knows where you are, and He knows how to send a message your way. And I believe God is calling you this Christmas. Wherever you are this Christmas, God can use you to be a part of His plan and to do His will. Would you just repeat that phrase by phrase after me? Repeat that after me. God can use you to be a part of His plan and to do His will. He really, really can. God can and wants to use you to be part of His plan and to do His will. You are never off the grid when it comes to God and His location services. He is aware of your whereabouts, and His plan. He has plans for you regardless of where you live or where you have come from, what may be in your past. Whatever that baggage may be, as we talked about last week, He wants to exchange it for luggage to move you into the future. Don't keep going back to baggage claim. He's got luggage for you to move forward. You don't have any baggage. He's given you luggage to go on a destination. Verse 27 goes on to tell us about the one with the womb who would be called upon to provide this Savior. And her name was what? Mary. And she would be a most unlikely candidate in the eyes of the world. And God sent Gabriel, it says in verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. It's really interesting here. The fact that it states that Mary was betrothed, you might want to underline that word in your Bible, betrothed. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. That meant they were more than just engaged. They weren't merely engaged. You see, a Jewish engagement resulted in that day, in that culture, in actual marital status, which, though their marriage at this point was unconsummated, it was still as sacred as marriage itself. Now, the consummation of their marriage would come later, but the commitment and the covenant was just as strong beforehand in the eyes of that culture of that time. The fact that in the scripture she is signified as a virgin, that harkens back to the prophecy of the coming Messiah that Isaiah told about, wrote about, and that Jewish people would have been aware of in that day. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says this, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." What's Luke doing here? Luke is writing details that tie back to the Old Testament prophecy in such a way that his readers are just going, here's your sign. Bill Engvall, the comedian, he would be so proud of Isaiah. Here's your sign. He'd be so proud of Luke. Here's your sign. A virgin will conceive and bear a son. Now, Luke goes on to unfurl what God's messenger, the angel, his name was Gabriel. You're with me. Gabriel was God's messenger and said to Mary upon his arrival in verse 28, look what he says. "And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.'" The Lord is with you. The message from the angel included a reminder that the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And the name stated in Isaiah's prophecy that we just noted from Isaiah 7:14 for the coming Messiah, the name of the coming Messiah would be Emmanuel. Emmanuel. The meaning of Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord is with you. Men and women, the call of Christmas is a reminder that the Lord is with you. He is with you. He is with me. He is with us. And the call to Mary is a call to provide. Think about it. Only a favored one in the eyes of God would be given the privilege and the call to provide the Christ child who soon would be with us in the form of a little baby from her womb. Now, the fact, don't miss this, the fact that Mary was still a virgin would mean God would have to be the one to create inside of Mary's womb the one that she was being called to provide for the salvation of the world. Don't miss that. I mean, such a call to motherhood in this fashion would just be frightening to consider. And also, the appearance and the speaking from Gabriel, this angelic visitor, man, that would have caused someone to be full of fear, would it not? Verse 29 and following just confirms that emotion of fear that was present in Mary and Gabriel's conversation. Look what it says in verses 29 to 33. "But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.'" Names are indicative of parental hopes. And the name in our story today certainly would have stirred the heart of God's people. The name Jesus means the Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. Think about it. Mary was being called to provide the womb and the nurturing motherhood for the salvation that would be put in her provided place that would come from the Lord. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Mary was not the one who was the source of such grace as some have supposed. It was God who chose to put His favor on Mary and create the salvation source in Mary that would then be provided through Mary because of the goodness and favor that came from God and God alone. That is a massive theological truth and a rich doctrine that we must not overlook or skate past. There are many who hold Mary in high regard, which is good, but higher than she should be, which is bad. No one should be held equally or as high or higher than Jesus, including Mary. Mary, hear me on this. Mary by herself could not produce a son. But God could give her one whose name Jesus means God saves. And this, in essence, is the gospel. Humans cannot produce their own salvation, but God can. And He's chosen to accomplish it for all of humanity. He just desired for the call of Christmas to come through the womb of a virgin from a remote country village. And Mary's call was a call to provide what God had already decided. Don't miss this. Mary provided herself, and God would do the rest. And see, as Mary is processing the message from the angel that certainly was no singing telegram, she did so by asking a really logical question. I mean, she knew that she had not yet been with Joseph yet, or any man in that regard, that possibly could have led to that kind of a conception in her womb. Look again at verse 34. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" This wasn't a question about unbelief. Rather, it was a question of Mary just trying to understand, trying to wrap her mind around this experience, this conversation with Gabriel. And men and women, let me just tell you this. God never gets tired or frustrated with our honest questions. God never gets tired or frustrated with our honest question. He invites us to stay curious as we seek to understand who He is and what He wants us to do and who He wants us to become in our lives. And man, Mary was just going to have to trust God with these details because a promise was being made to Mary that only could come true to fulfillment if it was God who was going to provide the details. Mary was being called into the promise. Her part was to provide the womb that would lead to a legacy of salvation from sin, death, Satan, and hell. God provided the details. Let me say it like this. If we provide the who, God will provide the how. Can we just take another out loud note together? Let's just say this whole thing together on three. One, two, three. If we provide the who, God will provide the how. Leave it to God to provide the details in His plan. And you're sitting here going, wait a minute, what is God's plan for my life, for our life, for all of humanity?
God's plan is this, that we would experience Jesus as our one means of salvation. Jesus, hear me. Please hear me. Jesus is the only source of our salvation. We cannot produce our own salvation. And you may be sitting there going, wait a minute, what is salvation? Salvation is Jesus rescuing humans, say it with me, from sin, death, Satan, and hell. That is what salvation is. We cannot earn salvation, give enough money to buy salvation, be good enough to deserve salvation. The Apostle Paul says that salvation is by grace through faith in who? Jesus Christ. The one and only, please hear that, the one and only Savior of the world that God so loves. And salvation is a Christmas gift from God and from God alone. And what God then calls us to do as part of His plan is to provide real estate for God to do something great. The real estate of our lives. Our lives are a womb that we can provide for God to do something great. For God to implant His free gift of salvation by grace. He can do that into our lives, and it saves us from ourselves, and it rescues us, say it again with me, from sin, death, Satan, and hell. If we provide the who, God will provide the how. Leave it to God to provide the details of His plans for your life. Mary, she did. She provided her life as real estate to be claimed and developed and turned into a home base to fulfill the promise that was to take place. Mary responded to God's call and provided herself. And only God had the power to do it and to make that promise come true. Mary had the opportunity to join God in the call of Christmas. And Gabriel explained God's plan to Mary's question of how. Look with me in verse 35. Key verse for us this morning. Sit up straight on this verse. We need to know this verse. Look what it says. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit," circle that. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow," underline that word overshadow you. "Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Critical, critical, critical point. As Luke is writing of this conversation that's taken place, he mentions the Holy Spirit. Just as he did earlier in Luke 1, verse 15, and he's going to mention the Holy Spirit 6 more times throughout the rest of this chapter and the next. You go, where's he going to do that? In chapter 1, verse 41, verse 67, verse 80, chapter 2, verse 25, 26, and 27. And the reason that this is so important is because Luke does not want his readers to forget something. What does he not want them to forget? This, that the call of Christmas is wrapped in the activity and working of the Holy Spirit. Write that down and put that on your refrigerator. And then write it down again and stick it right beside your nativity scene. So that every time you look at it, you don't forget that. That is key and critical. It, right here. Would you just take a deep breath with me on three? 1, 2, 3. Whew. You go, "You're getting pretty worked up, Pastor." I'm getting really worked up here. Because we don't teach enough about the Holy Spirit and His role in our lives. And we need to take a deep breath we need to see something, because if you're not highly engaged with me here, you're going to miss this. I'm going to show you something That if you're not locked in, it's going to go right over your head. It's going to totally miss your heart and life. So say a quick prayer. God, would you give me some spiritual Ritalin or something to help me focus? Because we don't need to miss this. I believe this reality could make a huge difference in your life this Christmas. Are you ready? Verse 35 references that not only will the Holy Spirit come upon Mary with this incredible detail of how this promise is going to come to fruition, but Luke also notes in verse 35 that God's power is going to what? Overshadow Mary in the process. Do you see that word overshadow there in verse 35? Underline that word, overshadow. Write it out in the margin, overshadow. Overshadow. The word overshadow in the original language is the word episkiazo. Episkiazo. And it carries the sense of the holy, powerful presence of God. Overshadow. Episkiazo. And God's presence through His Holy Spirit is going to be thick and at work in such a way that it is just clear that something holy is happening in our midst. And what I think God wants you to see this morning is that when the Holy Spirit is on the scene, not only is there power in His presence on the outside of our circumstances, but also there is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to conceive something on the inside. Episkiazo. The powerful presence of God on the outside and the opportunity for the powerful presence of God to be at work on the inside. To do something new. And the Holy Spirit's overshadowing presence is happening on the outside, while the Holy Spirit's activity in this story is also happening on the inside. That means this. That when the Holy Spirit is present, there is an outside and an inside activity taking place at the same time. Key question for us this morning is this. What is it that the Holy Spirit is doing in our text as Mary provides her womb as a place for God's activity? See, the Holy Spirit causes Mary to conceive a child. While the Holy Spirit overshadows Mary with a powerful and thick presence that enables her not to be afraid on the outside, and at the same time, the Holy Spirit begins to conceive salvation on the inside of her womb. The Holy Spirit is at work on the outside and on the inside, and the Holy Spirit is powerful on the outside and is at work conceiving our salvation on the inside, all because, don't miss this, all because Mary responded to the call to provide her very own real estate, her very own life, her very own womb. And God the Father went to work through His Holy Spirit, preparing the means for something beautiful and something life-giving to be found inside Mary's womb. Jesus, the Son of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all working three in one. And I just wonder how many of us this Christmas could really use an outside and an inside work in our lives by the Holy Spirit. How many of us sitting in this room right now or listening online right now need to feel the Holy Spirit's presence just overshadowing us on the outside, episkiazo. And at the same time, we need the Holy Spirit to conceive something new, a new work inside our lives, on our real estate, inside our womb of our heart and our life. Let me just ask you to think about your life for a moment. Do you have places inside of your life right now that just feel broken? Relationships that seem chaotic? Addictions or habits, sins in your life that God's bringing to your mind that you know are dark and it's causing you to be out of sync with God? Do you feel like you're in a season right now that's just in desperate need of direction and purpose? And when you allow yourself to think about 2017 and the new year, you just begin to feel a bit fearful, a bit out of sorts. Maybe you just feel empty. What you need this Christmas season is episkiazo. God's power from the outside and the activity of the Holy Spirit on the inside working together to accomplish what probably feels impossible to you right now. And I believe Mary felt that way. Felt like unless God did something on the outside and on the inside, everything that the angel was talking about with her was just nothing short of impossible. But God, please hear me, God is into doing the impossible. He did it in Mary's life, and He can do it in yours. Look with me in verses 36 to 38 as we wrap up. It says, "And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Did you catch that in verse 37? Nothing will be impossible with God. Man, the fact that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. That's one of the most hopeful statements found in the whole Bible. Nothing is impossible with God. And so let me just ask you this question. What's your impossible this Christmas? What is your impossible this Christmas that the Lord wants to remind you is not impossible with Him? May look different than you have in your mind, but it's not impossible with Him. I mean, is your impossible a situation at work or at school? Or with your finances, or with your marriage? Is it a strained relationship that just seems impossible with your kids? That just seems all but lost? I mean, is your impossible a slate of responsibilities that just feels crippling and consuming? Is your impossible a never-ending debt payment that just soaks up all you make and leaves you with little to live on unless you just go, well, maybe I need to just take on more debt? I mean, is your impossible recognizing the debt of your sin that has totally separated you from holy God today? And you need to confess that you are a sinner, that Jesus is the Savior, and that you need to call on the one and only name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth for your salvation. Man, if that's you, may today be the day of your salvation. What if your call of Christmas is a reminder that nothing is impossible with God when the Savior is on the scene? And what if your call is like Mary's? What if it is a call to provide? To provide God space to begin to take up residence within your life and begin a brand new work? I mean, what if God's calling you to provide real estate in your life that can be overshadowed by Him as the Holy Spirit goes to work on you, in you, and through your life circumstances? Please hear me. This process may be very painful for you, just like a birth. It may require counseling. It may include a total budget rework. It may be a cause for confession and a request for forgiveness. But whatever God may lead you to do in your impossible, know this, He is not leading you to walk alone. I love the song that the fans of the Liverpool English soccer team always sing at every match. You'll never walk alone. He is with you. He is Emmanuel. He is Jesus. The Lord is salvation. And what you and I need to do is provide the Spirit of God real estate, space in our life to take up residence and begin a new work. Mary did. And her call of Christmas was a call to provide her whole self, to grow the Son of God inside of her womb. What might God want to produce in you as you answer His call this Christmas? Will you provide all of who you are to all of who God is? Because if you provide the who, God will provide the how.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.